Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and in verse 11. With that in mind, we turn our attention today to what Alvin just read. If you'd like to open your Bibles there, Acts 16. In verse 9 in particular, when the Bible says, there stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia, now get this, and help us. Three things we're looking at today from this verse and this context. The background, the call, and the results. Just that simple. First of all, let's think about the background. When he said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul and Barnabas had been in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, according to Acts 15 and in verse 35. With many others also, the text says. Verse 36 records, and some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. I like that expression, don't you? We need to see how our brethren do from time to time, don't we? The text says in verse 40 that Paul took Silas and went out confirming or strengthening the churches in verse 41. You see, they understood, and we need to understand today, that churches need to be strengthened. Lots of churches need to be strengthened today. They went to cities of Derbe and Lystra. We heard that read. Thank you, Alvin. And there they find Timothy, well reported of the brethren. Chapter 16 and in verse 2 says. And they decide to take him with them, according to verse 3. And they continued their work. What were they doing? Strengthening the churches. And verse 5 says, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's what can happen when churches are strengthened, when we are established in the faith like we should be, we can increase in number. Their work of teaching and preaching continues. And the Bible says, as we heard read in our reading, that they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. And they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia at this time, according to verse 6. So they go to Mysia and attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit did not allow them to do that, according to verse 7. So they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas, the Bible says in verse 8. Now, Paul has, as the text says, a vision in the night. And a man of Macedonia praying, literally urging, also begging, with him, come over into Macedonia and help us. Again, that's 16 verse 9. Verse 10 explains how they understood that and how it was to be understood properly. Verse 10 says, and after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Now listen to this. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. That's what the vision was about. Begging, pleading, come over. Come over into Macedonia and help us. This verse tells us they understood that to mean go preach the gospel to them. So immediately they sought to go into Macedonia. In the background, let's think for just a moment about Macedonia. We understand from the text, from other sources as well, that Macedonia is a Roman colony or province. In the north country of Greece, north of Greece, the history of their journey then is given from chapter 16 and in verse 10 through chapter 17 and in verse 15. We know from the text that Philippi is a chief city of that part of Macedonia. And the text says a Roman colony. That's verse 12 of chapter 16. There are other chief cities that we may be familiar with of Macedonia, like Apollonia, Berea, Neapolis, and Thessalonica, just to mention a few. We know from Acts chapter 20 and in verse 1 that Paul, after an uproar at Ephesus, departed for to go into Macedonia. The Roman province of Macedonia consisted of what today is North and Central Greece. On the continent of Europe, located north of Africa and west of Asia. So what do we have? We have the gospel going to Europe for the first time. Because he saw a vision, a man saying, come over and help us. And they understood that to mean, come over and preach the gospel to us. That's the background in a nutshell. Next. Let's think for just a few minutes about the call. Haven't you heard this called the Macedonian call? And there's a reason it's called that. The text will bear that out. The call specifically is from verse 9, come over into Macedonia and help us. And again, verse 10, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. What I want us to see in that is that the call, more specifically, was to preach the gospel to them. That's what they'd been doing all along, haven't they? Confirming, strengthening the churches. Remember that? Chapter 15 and in verse 41. They delivered unto them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders that were present at Jerusalem. 16 and in verse 4. They were established in the faith. Verse 5. They were preaching the word, verse 6. You remember before Jesus was received up into heaven? Remember what he told the 11 on that occasion? Sure you do. Here it is. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now you could probably finish it, couldn't you? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And by the way, that's the book of Acts in 35 words. To me, that best describes what we're reading in the book of Acts. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and if not, they're damned. Now remember that as you think about the book of Acts and what we're reading here. I'm going to quickly, if you will, take us up all the way through to this point. To Troas, to Macedonia, to the vision, to come over and help us. Acts 1:8. We start there to get over to Acts 16. Acts 1 and in verse 8 gives us a good outline of the entire book of Acts. If you're not familiar with that, it'd be good to mark that in some way. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, now listen, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. By the way, that's a good outline for studying the book. You can just use that as your outline right there. And that takes you through the whole book right there. That's what they're doing. They were these eye and ear witnesses of Jesus. The only true witnesses, weren't they? And they went these places as they were instructed. In Acts 2, we remember the words, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." What kind of words were those? Those were gospel words, wasn't they? According to verse 22, hear these words. Also, we have Peter's gospel sermon on Solomon's porch in Acts 3, where he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That's verse 19. In Acts 4, Peter and John taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead, the Bible says in verse 2. And in verse 31, they spake the word of God with boldness. In Acts 5, after the apostles were put into prison, verse 18, the angel of the Lord told them, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." That's verse 20. And you know what? They do exactly that. Verse 42 tells us, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." In Acts 6, and verse 7 in particular, we read, "And the word of God increased, and the multitude of the disciples multiplied." In Acts 7, we have Stephen's gospel sermon. And verse 54 records, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." There's a Bible heart, by the way. "And they gnashed on him with their teeth." In Acts 8, "They that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Verse 4. Philip, you remember, goes and preaches Christ in Samaria, according to verse 5. "And they believed, and they were baptized," according to verse 12. Also, Simon believed and was baptized. That's verse 13. The man of Ethiopia, in verse 27, heard Philip, verse 30. "As he preached unto him Jesus," verse 35, "and was baptized," verse 38. In Acts 9, a disciple named Ananias goes and baptizes Saul, or Paul, in verse 18. "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue," according to verse 20. It's pretty good, isn't it? I like that word "straightway," don't you? Peter goes to Lydda, and those residents turned to the Lord, according to verse 35, "and many believed on the Lord throughout all Joppa," according to verse 42. Acts 10, Peter goes to Cornelius. You remember that, don't you? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, according to verse 48. In Acts 11, those that were scattered abroad preached the word, and a great multitude or number believed and turned to the Lord, according to verse 21. Barnabas goes to Tarsus and finds Saul and brought him to Antioch. And a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people. And you remember that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's verse 26. In Acts 12, the word of God grew and multiplied, according to verse 24. Even as Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. We're told that in verse 1, by the way. In Acts 13, Barnabas and Saul, and by the way, in this chapter, we are told who also is called Paul. Verse 9. We're sent away, verse 3, and preach the word of God in the synagogues, according to verse 5. At Paphos, a deputy believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, according to verse 12. Paul and company went to Antioch of Pisidia in verses 13 and 14. And upon turning to the Gentiles in verse 46, the Bible says that the Gentiles here were glad and believed because the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. That's verses 48 and verses 49, by the way. In Acts 14, after being expelled, Paul and Barnabas go to Lystra and Derbe, and there they preach the gospel, verses 6 and 7. They confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorted them, continue in the faith. It's a good exhortation, isn't it? Verse 22. In Acts 15, the apostles and Barnabas continue at Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, according to verse 36. And then some went through Cilicia and Syria, again, strengthening the churches, verse 41. What does that do? That brings us to chapter 16, doesn't it? I say all of that to help us see what's happening. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. They're going. And then, forbidden to go one place, so they could go another place where they really needed to be. The vision of a man appeared to Saul in the night. The man was standing. He was a man from Macedonia, that province, praying, begging, come over into Macedonia and help us. I want us to see that the best way that we can help anybody is by teaching the gospel to them. We need to get that in our minds. We need to see that, and there's no better place to see that than right here. Assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them. They knew that's what that meant, and they were right. That's exactly what was needed. That was the help that was needed. You maybe remember a song that we sometimes sing called Send the Light. It's an old one, isn't it? It's a good one. Send the light. Talks about the Macedonian call, doesn't it? We hear the Macedonian call, send the light, written by Charles Gabriel in 1890. That's 134 years ago that song was written. But you know how much that means today. Come over. Come over and help us. I want us to see that somebody has to do the going. In this case, there was somebody to go. And when there, we must remember that they went there to help. Come over. What was the plea? What was the beg? Come over and help us. I say that so our minds will think for just a moment about the help. Not hurt. Not hurt. And I think that's a lesson for each one of us. Not just for preachers who go to foreign countries, but for every single one of us, wherever we go. Across the street, down the road, through another town, wherever it is, we go. We go to help, not hurt. Too many brethren have been hurt when what they needed was help. Come over. Come over and help us. I think that's a good motto for churches everywhere. Here to help. Here to help. Could you say that? Could you say that? Could you say that? Here to help. Everybody. Here to help, right? Here to help. Good motto. Are you helping? Come over and help us. Well, we've got two of them, don't we? We've got the background, we've got the call. Come over and help us. What about the results? Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? They had concluded that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel. Verse 10, and they set a straight course. I like that. It's kind of like, hurry up and get there. Hurry up and get there. Set a straight course, according to verse 11. And ultimately, they come to Philippi, verse 12. The first church in Europe was planted right here. Right here, right now, in the city of Philippi. Let's read some results. Take your Bible. And on the Sabbath, verse 13 of chapter 16, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Very familiar, isn't it? This happened because they answered the call. Come over and help us. What we're really seeing is what the Bible refers to as an open door. An open door. God can set before us, according to the book of Revelation 3 and in verse 8, an open door. Even if this was the only thing that happened, and there's going to be much more. Much, much, much more. Because they answered the Macedonian call. It was an open door. Here we have Lydia. Hearing, attending unto the things that are spoken, and being baptized. And not just her, but her household. Isn't that great? Don't you wish that some in your household would be baptized? I know some of you do. They were. And after casting out a spirit of divination from a certain damsel in verse 16, Paul and Silas were beaten and cast into prison. Well, answered the Macedonian call, and what happens? You get beat and you get thrown into prison. 22-23. Well, that's part of it. You take what goes with it, I guess. But you know, God can make bad things into good things. And he did just that. In Acts 16, we read again of results, beginning in verse 25. Very familiar. I know these scriptures are very familiar to you. But in this context, see how critical it is to understand these were results as a result of answering this call to go. I'll read beginning in verse 25. Won't you listen? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The jailer. Now, after the conversion of Lydia and her household, the jailer and all that were in his house hear the word of the Lord, verse 32, and were baptized, and I want you to notice this, straightway. Straightway. I said I like that word, 33. That means you don't just wait around. One of these days. No, it's not that. It's now. Hear the word of the Lord. Obey the word of the Lord. What better time? What better time? Because what happens so often is people, they put it off. And, well, not this time. Well, what about next time? Well, it gets a little easier to put it off a little more, don't it? And we just keep putting it off and putting it off. And, well, I intended to, Lord, but I never got around to it. One of the things we need to appreciate is the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. We're seeing that, aren't we? We're seeing that all the way through the book. That's why they're going. That's why they're doing what they're doing. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We're very familiar with that passage in Romans 1. Verses 16 and 17. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This all happened. This is real. It's not a fairy tale. It's real. At a city in Macedonia by the name of Philippi. But I want us to remember that beyond this, what we've just read here, these conversions, which are critical as you look at the conversions in the book of Acts, aren't they? There's so much more that could be said that came down the road. And we know that because we know there's an epistle in our Bible that's called Philippians. The epistle of Paul to the church at Philippi. Now stop and think about that for just a moment. Here's the start. Had this call. They go. They preach. Folks are hearing the word of the Lord. They're being baptized. The church is being planted. You remember Philippians 1 and in verse 1? How he begins that great epistle. And Philippians is one of my favorite. Here's what he said. To all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. All the saints. We read about some here, didn't we, that obeyed the gospel. Now all the saints, which are at Philippi with the bishops or elders and deacons. That say anything to you? It should. Think about that. All the saints which are at Philippi. And let's note a few verses in Philippians 1, verses 2 to 5, when Paul went on to say, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Tell you what, Paul loved these brethren. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And he concluded his epistle. So just flip over a couple pages, get to the end, with these words. Chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. He said, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren that are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." I just have to say, wow. Don't you? So wonderful, the results. The Lord, they had concluded, the Lord wants us to go and preach the gospel to them. Aren't we glad they did? I'll tell you, these brethren were glad they did, weren't they? Come over into Macedonia and help us. I thought that might be appropriate for us today. I hope that helps you somehow. We can help folks today everywhere by taking the gospel to them. We can help folks everywhere by inviting them to a service like this where they can hear the gospel of Christ. But here to help, right? Here to help. And if I'm standing in somebody's home and I'm talking to them, I'm here to help. I'm here to help. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you need to. We read about these conversions. We read about people hearing the word of the Lord, believing it, and being baptized. You know, they had to make a conscious decision. That's what they were going to do based upon hearing the gospel, didn't they? They had to receive the word. And they did. Just like we read about Lydia. She attended unto the things that were spoken. Did she? She listened. And she believed and she was baptized and her household. You could do that today. You could hear the word of the Lord as you've done. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you know what? You can go help. Come help us. You might hear someday. You never know where it's going to come from. We've heard it all over this country. In our travels, especially out west and the northwest. Help us. Help us. Churches needing help. And perhaps you could go. But help someone in your family. Help someone at home, in your house, where you live. Help them. Won't you obey the word of the Lord while together we stand to sing this invitation song? Won't you come?